Father, we do ask your blessing as we come to and come around your word. Lord, might your spirit abound and speak to us. Lord, to convict and challenge as needed. Lord, to encourage and edify. Lord, to your praise and to your glory, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We had these words read for us, but I just want to reiterate that these opening verses that were read. In Matthew 9:35, we have Jesus went about all the cities and the villages. He's teaching in their synagogues. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And he's curing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, we read in verse 36, he was moved with compassion, or he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he summons the disciples, noting that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he invites them to pray, to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. I believe there's a harvest around us. Agreed? Something worth praying for? Enthusiasm went down a touch for some reason. Something worth being called to do. You and I, Del, we will. Fascinating picture. We have Jesus, and Jesus himself is going around proclaiming the kingdom of God and also curing those with disease and ailment and delivering those who are captive. We have a wonderful ministry with Christ of both proclamation, the proclaiming of the gospel, but also a real presence in the lives of people. The proclamation of the good news, the kingdom of God is at hand. Within the epistles and elsewhere, we have in the book of Acts, we have the continued proclamation of the good news, the telling of what Jesus has done, the call to repentance and to faith because of the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the wonderful gift that has been given. Repent and believe in the good news, the proclamation of the gospel. And Jesus went around proclaiming the news of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that had now dawned, that had begun, that had come in the incarnation of Christ himself. When are we not proclaiming the gospel? When is Jesus Christ not portraying the message of Jesus Christ? It's an interesting thought. Wherever Christ went, the message of Christ went. Through proclamation, but also through deed or through presence. Our lives reflect either well or poorly the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through our words and through our deeds, through our proclamation and through our presence. Jesus Christ went from the cities and the villages, from place to place. He went about indicating a continual process. As Jesus was going about, he was about the business of being Jesus. We might argue that he could not do anything other. He was Jesus. As believers in Jesus, we are Christian by name. We're followers of Jesus. As we go about from place to place, can we choose when and where we will be about being Christian? Or are we always Christian wherever we go? What does that look like? What does that mean? Jesus went about from place to place, and everywhere as he went, he was about the business of proclaiming the good news, of being the presence of God in that area through word and deed. What drove him? John has incredible energy. He's just a few years older than me. And boy, the energy. What drives John? You don't have to answer that right now. Something drives us. I think I've alluded to this thought before. Jesus looked at the crowds and he saw them One of the beautiful pictures we have of Jesus in Scripture time and again was that as he looked at people, he actually saw them. It's easy to pass by people. It's easy to not notice. It's easy to not look intently and to gaze at people. Now that might cross a line into awkward staring as well, so we want to be careful. But Jesus saw people. If you ever catch me staring at you, I'm just seeing you in the love of Christ. Jesus saw people, and he saw the crowds here, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. He had compassion. He had a response in his being out of love for the people that he saw before him. He was moved. Compassion drove the ministry of Jesus, whether it be this crowd or whether it be individuals. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, we have this beautiful account, a short account, just a few verses long, of a leper who had come to Jesus. Mark 1, and verse 40. A leper came to him, to Jesus, and begged him, implored him, knelt before him, and he said, "If you choose, you can make me clean." And Jesus, seeing him, was moved with compassion. It's interesting that the word compassion sometimes in our English Bibles gets translated pity. Sometimes it gets translated anger. But it's this emotional response to an injustice or a poor state that an individual is in. And there's a moving. Jesus looked at him, moved with pity, moved with compassion, angered by the situation. And Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him. And he said to him, "I do choose, I am willing, be made clean." It can be difficult to touch, to spend time with, to connect with those who are not well, those who are in need. It can be difficult to notice the crowds, maybe at times more difficult to notice the individual, and to bring a message of proclamation and presence into a situation. Sometimes I just don't want to. I'm sure that's not your case, but mine. Sometimes I just don't feel like it. I'm not driven. I'm not compassionate. And maybe just don't care. But Jesus, moved with compassion, he notes that the harvest is plentiful, and he calls the disciples to him and to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And I love the transition in chapter 10, verse 1. Then Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. And we find in verse 5 that he sent them out. I don't know how you pray or how often you pray or what you pray for, but when you pray, are you praying that you might be an answer to your prayer? Think of the great words, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Now, I think there's something important about bathing things in prayer and the call to pray first, to be prepared to go and to proclaim and be the presence of Christ in the community or the context in which we find ourselves. But I think more often than not, at least in my own life, when I pray, it's not to prepare myself to go. It's a prayer to ask God to send somebody else to go. Amen. Sometimes we see prayer as our duty, and maybe our sole duty. Pray that you might be prepared to be the one proclaiming and to be the presence, the hands and the feet and the mouth of Christ in the context of need. Pray that God would prepare your heart with compassion and mercy and grace and justice. Pray that God would be putting you in a position to go, to proclaim, and to present the good news of Jesus Christ. Verses 6 to 8 in chapter 10 we find, "Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In verse 7, "As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons." So here we have them carrying on the ministry of Christ, both a ministry of proclamation and a ministry of presence, of bringing the deliverance and the healing and the provision to people in need. Sometimes we might default on one side or the other. Well, I'm not good at proclaiming or speaking, so I'll just serve people nicely. Well, I'm not very good at serving, but I love to tell people what to do. I'll be the proclaimer, and I'll proclaim. It's accredited to, I don't know if it was him, but it's accredited to St. Francis of Assisi, who said, preach the good news or preach the gospel or the kingdom of God always, and if necessary, use words. You may have heard that saying before. I don't fully agree, not that I'm one to disagree with a saint in the history of the church, but I don't think proclamation is the full picture. I think presence is important. Service is important. But I also don't believe service or presence is the full picture. We need to proclaim the good news. In Romans 10, how will they hear unless it's preached? And how will one preach unless they are sent? You get this beautiful picture in Romans 10, I believe it is, of this unpacking of the importance of people sent to proclaim the good news, to preach the good news of God in Christ. Verses 8b and 9 in chapter 10, we find this. "You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, no or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food." Go. And don't charge anything. I'll be praying for those who go, thank you. I'll hold back and hold down the fort here as you go, and I'll hold the extra tunics for you and your money bags and whatever else you want to leave behind for me to take care of as you go, and trust in the Lord that He will provide for you. It's a question, again, I believe, in part of motivation. Why do we go? We don't go for monetary benefit. We don't go for the promise of security. We don't go for the hope of gaining a wonderful audience. We have read, or has been read for us, that there's a rejection that will come. Why do we go? I want to encourage us, and maybe it takes root in and through our prayers, as we go because we've caught the vision of Christ, the compassionate heart that sees a people in need, who need to hear the good news, who need to be loved, who need to be delivered, who need to be held, who need to be set free. And our hearts are so moved. I don't know if you have any jobs that you love to do that you would just do for free because you love doing them so much. I love yard work. I'm not offering. I love yard work. I just love being out in my yard, doing stuff, puttering, including in the winter shoveling. Again, I'm not offering. not today, anyway. I love being out. And I would almost, some days probably would, happily continue on to my neighbor's yard and mow theirs too, because I enjoy doing it. How do we get a passion for people? That we're doing it for no other benefit than to show, to proclaim, and to be the presence of Christ in their life. And the fruit and the benefit is the work of God in their midst. Verse 18 in chapter 10, we read, "And you'll be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles." Goes on in verse 19. And when they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I think sometimes we hesitate to go forth because we don't know how to do it. We don't know that we can do it. Do you recall the wonderful encounter between God and Moses in Exodus? God hears the cries of his people. Again, a compassionate God. He hears the cries of his people. And he calls Moses to go. And if you recall the dialogue, Moses questions, "Who am I?" God says, "I'll be with you." "Who are you?" "I am who I am. I'm not eloquent in speech. I will speak for you." "No, thank you." Sometimes we lack the confidence, maybe in ourselves, but maybe if we're honest, it's a lack of confidence in God, that he will work in us and through us as we faithfully go forth with compassionate hearts to proclaim and to be the presence of Christ in our community. "Go, I'll meet you in the situation. I will speak in you and through you. I will work the wonders, the proclamation and the deeds for my glory, for the sake of the kingdom." Father, we ask that you would encourage and instill within us compassionate hearts. Lord, bring us to our knees in prayer for a community, for a people who need the Lord. Help us to see the harvest that is before us. Help us to pray. Help us proclaim. Help us to be present. Lord, build up our faith, our trust in the things that you have called us to do. Lord, that the world may know. To your praise and your glory, we ask in the holy name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.